Well, happy Sabbath. Greetings from the frozen tundra. We finally got some snow. 7 inches at our house in Hudson, so got the snowblower out. Well, many of our daily activities require us to do things in a certain way. We wake up, we make breakfast. Maybe you like a couple of eggs on an English muffin, like I do from time to time. I like a nice toasted English muffin, so that requires a working toaster, a stovetop, a pan with some olive oil to fry up those eggs to perfection. Maybe you like to top them off with avocado mash, make a nice big messy egg McMuffin like I do sometimes. Anyway, without the stove and the toaster and the proper supplies, the egg sandwich doesn't turn out right. That's just one small example of something that needs to be done a certain way to have the desired outcome or result. The egg sandwich doesn't make itself and appear as a finished product. There are requirements or necessary supplies and ingredients that are needed to produce the finished product. Let's think outside of breakfast. We find job descriptions when searching for jobs. These are requirements to be successful in the role. Skills and attributes that the employer is looking for in the person filling the position. It's good to understand the requirements so that we know what we're getting into and we can match our expectations with reality. What does the Lord require of you? What does He require of me? There's a verse in the Bible that clearly and succinctly tells us exactly what the Lord required of Israel and by extension what He requires of us today. As New Testament Christians following the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ, John 14:6, we should know and understand these requirements that He calls good so that we can do them to the best of our abilities with the help of God's Holy Spirit. Where can we find these requirements? I'm glad you asked. Please turn with me to the book of Micah, chapter 6. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. Micah 6, verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. In this verse, the Lord is Strong's H3068, Jehovah, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We just read that He, Jesus Christ, has shown us what is good and what He requires of us. So in the remaining time today, let's discuss three requirements that the Lord has for us today. The title for my message is, What Does the Lord Require of Us? With a question mark. What does the Lord require of us? Okay, so we just read in Micah 6, verse 8, that the three things the Lord requires of us is to do justly, that's number one, to love mercy, that's number two, and to walk humbly with your God, number three. And these three requirements show us what actions we should be taking each and every day as we strive to live a life modeled after Jesus Christ, our perfect example. So number one, do justly. True justice corresponds to God's will and His standards. There are so many Proverbs I could go to talking about this. Proverbs 1, verses 1 through 7 talks about justice. I'll just quote Proverbs 21, verse 3. Proverbs 21, verse 3, to do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. When truth and goodness are enforced through punishment for those who do evil, wicked people are rightly afraid. And we can read Proverbs 10, verse 24 for that point. Proverbs 10, 24, the fear of the wicked will come upon him, and the desire of the righteous will be granted. Jeremiah 22, verse 3. Jeremiah 22, verse 3 says, Thus says the Lord, execute judgment and righteousness, and deliver the plundered out of the hand of the oppressor. Do no wrong, and do no violence to the stranger, the fatherless, or the widow, nor shed innocent blood in this place. Now, godly justice is not social justice. We hear a lot of talk in society today about social justice, creating equity in the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges. But the social justice that we hear about constantly in society today is not godly justice. True justice is based on the law of God and has a completely different end goal, which is for people to live together in peace. This is accomplished by living justly and rejecting what the Bible defines as evil. Rather than claiming victim status, we are to love and pray for those who persecute us. And that's Matthew 5, verse 44. To be just is to be fair in all that we do. To act justly means to be honest and tell the truth. It means that we treat every person equally, to hold everyone to the same standard, and to not apply different systems of fairness to different people. This means that we do what is morally right, even when it's not societally popular. Notice this is also a call to action. It's an action verb, do. Not just think about being just, but to do justly. So that's a quick overview of point number one, do justly. What else does the Lord require of us? Well, number two is love mercy. Love mercy. Have you ever been cut off in traffic and feel your blood pressure rise? Ever had a disagreement with a neighbor over a shared fence? Or maybe who should trim that low-hanging branch? How does God deal with us when we make a mistake and deserve to be punished? Does he throw us away when we make a mistake? Or does he show us mercy, compassion, and forgiveness? Our mercy must be like God's mercy towards Israel and towards us today. How should we be treating others? Psalm 103, verses 8 through 10. I'd like to go there. If you all turn with me to Psalm 103, verses 8 through 10, please. Psalm 103, verses 8 through 10. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Israel did not deserve God's mercy, just like we don't deserve God's mercy. Yet he forgave them over and over and over again, just as he forgives us as we work out our own salvation with fear and tremblings. Fear and trembling, right? Philippians 2, verse 12. It's good at this time of the year to think about God's everlasting mercy as we near the spring holy days and examine ourselves and think about Christ's sacrifice and resurrection, which grants us the opportunity for our eternal salvation. Psalm 118, verse 1 talks, well, really all of Psalm 118 talks a lot about praise to God for his everlasting mercy. Psalm 118, verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." Let's read what the Apostle Paul writes about God's mercy as shown in Jesus Christ in the book of Titus. Titus chapter 3, if you all turn with me there, please. Titus 3, verses 4 through 7. Titus 3, starting in verse 4. "But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy." I wanted to call that out. According to his mercy. "He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." We do not deserve God's mercy. None of us do. Yet, he's merciful to us. So we should follow his example and to show and be showing mercy to others, even if they don't deserve it. "Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful." Right? Luke 6:36. "Be slow to anger and abounding in mercy," like we just read in Psalm 103, verse 8. So to love mercy means that we will respond as God would in every situation. We will uphold his standards and will view every situation through this lens of God's standards. It means that we will love people the way he loved them and loves them and care for people the way that he cares for them. So that's point number two, love mercy. What else does the Lord require of us? Point number three, to walk humbly with your God. I looked in Jameson, Fossert, and Brown's commentary in Micah 6 for this point, number three. And Jameson, Fossert, and Brown's commentary mentions to walk humbly with God, it's both passive and it's also active obedience toward God. Just wanted to call that out, passive and active obedience. So what's our attitude toward God? Are we proud of our abilities and our self-reliance, or do we depend on God? Who do we think we are? When you compare yourselves to other people, it can be easy to think you're doing okay. At least I'm not doing insert sin here. At least I'm not like them. We can become arrogant comparing ourselves to other people. But we get a completely different perspective when we compare ourselves to God. Let me say that again. We can become arrogant comparing ourselves to other people, but we can get a completely different perspective when we compare ourselves to God. Proverbs 30, verse 4. Proverbs 30, verse 4. Who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is his son's name, if you know? Anything of worth comes from God, not from us. We should always be striving to reflect God in our thoughts and our actions every single day. To walk humbly with God means that we are not only careful about our walk, but we recognize that who we are and what we have is a result of God's grace and God's mercy. Our walk should cause us to increase in humility, not become full of arrogance. To summarize, this verse in Micah 6, verse 8, it's all about character. And one of the ways we show our character is how we treat other people who disagree with us or those who can give us nothing in return. In Matthew, Jesus talks about how easy it is to love those who love us in return. That does not display character. It does not display fruit. How do you love people who choose not to love you back? Our response should be outward, to do justly, inward, to love mercy, and upward, to walk humbly with God in faith. Micah 6, verse 8 again. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. These three requirements show us what our actions should be each and every day. Let's keep this in mind, what God has shown us here in the book of Micah as we prepare for the spring holidays. Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. These are action verbs. Do, love, and walk. Let's actively be about our Father's business. And I'd like to end just in Matthew 23, 23. Just one verse here in Matthew, which I think ties in really well with Micah 6, verse 8. Matthew 23, 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint, anise, and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone.